Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Ezra chapter 1, verses 2. The Bible says this. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. Ezra chapter 4, verses 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the father's house and said to them, "Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the father's houses of Israel said to them, "You may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded." Verse number 4, and this is the key. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of King Cyrus of Persia's days. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to take full control. Lord, I ask that you would speak through my life. I'm asking God that you would forgive us all and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let our hearts be open. Let our ears hear what you desire to speak. And I pray that you would encourage us to fulfill our purpose in you. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Well, this morning I'm super grateful. I'm grateful to God, and I'm very grateful to be able to preach the Word of God to you. I've been reflecting just this past week, and I'm grateful for this ministry. I'm grateful for the ministry of Victory Outreach. You know, it was over 16 years ago that I walked in a broken young man, and someone spoke life into me, and today my life has been changed. And I'm just thinking of, you know, the opportunity that we have to reach hurting people. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our church. You know, when I look around at what God's doing in our city, I'm very grateful that we get to be a part of a certain time in history where I think God's going to use the church to bring hope to a dying world. And I'm grateful that I have a purpose. Someone say purpose. You know, a sense of purpose is something that is greatly lacking in the lives of people in today's society. We live in a world that is greatly plagued with the mentality that I wasn't created for anything, and therefore I'm just going to live life to the fullest. And people of all ages, from young and old, they live life without a sense of purpose. Hence, they live a life directionless, aimless, swinging for the fences, yet never gaining ground. Who's ever felt directionless? Just wave at me. Amen. So I'm not the only one. It's amazing because every day that passes, our children are growing up and they have searching minds and they're asking questions like, "Why was I created?" Now, the sad part about that question coming from a child is that most parents cannot tell their children with clarity the reason they exist. And they say that many will live life seeking out their purpose and never find it, and others will never pursue it because they fail to believe they were created for it. But this morning, if there's one thing that I want to declare to you this morning as a truth, is that God created you with a purpose. God created you special. The Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And I feel led to preach this word to you, because the Bible tells us in Corinthians that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light. What does that tell us? That tells us that even the church in many areas can be blinded to the fact that God has called us to be the light. And if we are not careful and we don't take heed to the world in a time of distraction, you and I will miss our purpose here on earth. See, the lack of purpose is a huge reason for depression. It's a big reason for the antidepressant drug problem that we have in the world. It's a big reason why children walk around with low self-esteem and they lack confidence. And this concept even Christians battle with. But if you and I don't search out the truth, if we don't search God's word, we will never discover our purpose. See, this morning, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about fulfilling your purpose. See, when we look at the book of Ezra and the first scripture that we read in Ezra chapter 1, God instructs King Cyrus to build him a temple. And during this time, the Jewish people were in captivity. But what he does is he allows them to go back to Jerusalem to take part in building God a temple. But after the king lets the people go build the temple, the Bible tells us something very specific, that in their building, there were adversaries that came against them. And the Bible says specifically that these adversaries came to discourage them and to frustrate their purpose. Now, when I read that, that really caught my heart. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even going to preach this word. I was going to preach on the Macedonian call. But last night as I was studying, the Lord spoke to me. And He began to direct me through the scriptures. And He began to show me that the adversary, our adversary, the devil and Satan, he lives to frustrate our purpose. And there are many of you, I believe you're sitting here, you're trying to get ahead in life, you're trying to pursue God, but it seems like every step you take, there is an adversary or something that comes against you to frustrate your purpose. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Because there are some of you, when I talk to you, you're almost about to leap out of your skin that you want to do something for God. But there is an oppression or a spirit or a force that's coming against us. Well, my friend, I came here to clarify what that oppression is. And that oppression is this thing called frustration. See, frustration is a strategy or an emotion that the enemy will use to try to discourage us from progressing. Let me give you what the definition is to frustrate. It's to prevent from accomplishing a purpose or a desired outcome. And if you ever get to a place where it doesn't allow you to progress, there's a feeling of frustration that will settle in your spirit. And listen to me, frustration will eat and kill at your motivation to get up in the morning. Frustration will cause you to shut down and not progress or even try. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Understand this, that whenever you make a decision to follow God, evil spirits will come against you. Now, I'm not a mystical guy, but evil does exist. And we can't turn the blind eye and act like there aren't spiritual things, right? This is why even with alcohol or drugs, there are certain emotions and certain realms that we're able to go to that are not right. And understand this, that those things are bondages. They are bondages. Yes, alcohol is a bondage. Well, Pastor Eric, I can drink one little beer for dinner. It's not a big deal. I could drink a glass of wine. It's not my problem. Absolutely. Maybe it's not a problem to you. However, let's not be arrogant to think that we're not subject to fall or be contaminated by what other people are held in bondage with. Come on now. Some of you got to catch this morning. Am I speaking? cigarettes or whatever it might be, weed, come on somebody, antidepressants, come on somebody, right? My back hurts, give me a pill, right? It's not a big deal. Then why are your eyes so dilated? Oh, come on somebody, don't look at me like that. Hey, just so you know, I can tell. Oh, man, you know, it was that coffee. Oh, I bet that coffee was good, boy. Give me some of that stuff, because come on now. Come on now. I don't know why I'm going there. Let me get back to frustration. All I'm saying is, listen, let's be careful. Because evil forces would love to blind us, like the Bible says to us, right? That the God of this age will blind. Listen, blind us. Blind the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light. We're not called to lower our standard. We're called to raise the standard according to God's word. Listen, our morale is at an all-time low in our country. So if we set our standard based on what the laws tell us, you and I will not have any power to accomplish our purpose. We'll not have any power to break through when our children are going through things. This is why, listen, father, listen, mother, you gotta live a life full of conviction. You gotta live a life that says, I'm gonna try to the best of my ability to live according to the world. I say it all the time. We're real people with real problems. Come on, say it with me. Doing the very best that we can to follow the word of God. God knows where you're at. And as long as you're progressing and you're trying to live out his word without constantly falling on the old issue, God will give you power so that you can speak to those spirits, that you can rebuke them in Jesus' name. This is why when your children are going through something, there's something about a praying father, a praying mother that has the ability to speak to circumstances and change them. It's this thing called power, it's called anointing, and it's called the Spirit of God. And I speak it with passion because I am convinced that if we are going to make an impact in Pierce County, we're going to need the Spirit of God, not charisma. We're not going to need a good personality. We're not even going to need a great message. Give me a man that doesn't know how to speak, but that lives according to the truth. I will take that man every day, any day, over a man that knows how to eloquently preach the word in front of everybody. We don't need good sermons. We need life-based sermons where people can see the word of God active in our life. People are searching for the truth. Hear me. But the enemy wants to frustrate your purpose. And frustration is a feeling of dissatisfaction, often accompanied by anxiety, depression, resulting from unfulfilled needs or unresolved problems. And frustration will always come to eat at your motivation to pursue God. Frustration and disappointment will also breed all sorts of different types of emotions. This is why the enemy comes in to frustrate you. Because after frustration comes restlessness. After frustration comes anger. After frustration comes anxiety. After frustration comes insecurity. After frustration comes offense. After frustration comes depression. And listen to me, if you're a person that gives to all these things, you'll be one big mess. There is a reason and a strategy behind why the enemy uses frustration in particular to frustrate your purpose. And it will breed a certain dissatisfaction in your spirit that will cause you to find fulfillment everywhere else. This is why finding your purpose is so important. Frustration leaves us discouraged. It leaves us unfulfilled. And whenever a person is unfulfilled, he will always set out to look for fulfillment. And this is where things become dangerous. And the basics of Christianity become important. Prayer, reading of the word, having faith, simple worship, fellowship needs to be a part of our life. Because when we don't know what's going on, the one thing I do know that I can do is get on my knees and pray to the living God. God. Everything around me might be falling. I might be bogged down with depression and anxiety. But according to the word, if I read my Bible, listen, the Bible says that when I'm anxious, all I got to do is pray, and the peace that transcends all understanding will fall upon my life. And some of us got to stop going to Facebook. Some of us got to stop going to our friends, and we need to start communicating with the Father. We need to get on our face instead of Facebook and praying to the living God so that He can give us the answer. Listen, we cannot rely on our emotions. Emotions are fickle. This is why I constantly talk to people in the church, or even the men in the home. Listen, I tell them, don't leave. Give it one more day. Because today you feel like leaving, but tomorrow you don't want to leave. But if you act on your emotion, for the rest of your life you will be struggling with, man, why in the world did I leave? I don't bow down and I don't obey my emotions. Rather, I allow the word of God to have authority over those emotions so that I can walk out on His truth. But this is faith. Being certain of what you hope for and sure of what you cannot see. In other words, we're not moved by how we feel. We got too many believers that are moving based on their emotions, and as a result, they're constantly going in circles or running on a spiritual treadmill. Active, but not going anywhere. Scenery never changed. They're giving it their all and they feel exhausted, but then they get frustrated with God. God, I'm doing my part. No, we're not. Coming to church alone is not enough. You got to seek Him out on your own time. We got to develop a relationship with God. Are you with me? Am I speaking truth? Okay, come on. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we will not grow faint. What I'm simply trying to tell you, listen, church, make it your priority to pursue the purpose of God on your life. Make it your priority. I don't know why He created you. But God created you for a purpose. There is something you're supposed to do, and there is a reason why you exist. And all I've done in the last 16 years, I've made it my priority to fulfill my purpose. I don't want to die. And people say, man, he was full of potential. He was full of potential. You look at people like Samson. Do you know what? Samson died with a lot of potential. Strongest man in the Bible. God had called him to be a deliverer of His people, but because he dabbled, come on somebody, he dabbled, right? Because he wasn't willing to live according to what God wanted him to do. He didn't follow the instructions for his life. He was supposed to live according to the Nazarite vow. Now, I'm not going to get into that. That's not part of my message. But he basically came against all the rules of the Nazarite vow. God still used him. But as a result, he will always be known as a man that could have done even greater things. Are you hearing me? So I want to give you a few things about purpose, and we'll be bringing this to a close. Are you still with me? There's a few things that we have to understand about purpose. The first thing we have to understand about purpose is this. You were created with a purpose. You were created with a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for God prepared in advance for us to do. That's heavy. Now listen how it reads in the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. It doesn't say, listen, you're God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. There are things that He planned for you to do long ago. But the world got in the way and kind of messed us up. So what we have to do now is climb upstream or swim upstream to find the purpose of God so that we can do what he set out for us to do. And according to this scripture, if we do that, we'll be his masterpiece for the world to see. Hear me now, that's heavy stuff. You are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You exist for a reason. There is a reason why you are here on earth. There is a reason why you're sitting in this church today. Things don't happen by happenstance. But listen, when we all come together as a body of Christ, and I do my part, and you do your part, there are great outcomes, because with unity, great things happen. The definition of purpose is this. It's the reason for which something exists or is made or used. And I love this verse, Ecclesiastes 6:10, the New Living Translation. Ecclesiastes 6:10. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. So there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. The problem that we have in church, we have people that are sitting here. You know what you're called to do, but you're arguing with God about your destiny. Dang, I didn't get one simple A. Come on, somebody. You could hear a pin drop there. If we know what we're called to do, or we have an idea of how we're supposed to serve God, if we don't do it, all we will be doing is arguing with God about our destiny. God has already decided long ago what each person would be, so there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. This morning, it's important that you know that you have a purpose, you have a destiny. God has called you to greatness, but you got to believe in it, and you got to step out. See, God gives us the promise. He gives us the purpose. But we got to give him the action. Because when we step in, he can work through our lives. Number two, the second thing you have to know about purpose. Knowing your purpose is what gives life meaning. Have you ever just felt unfulfilled? Right? Have you ever just, like, I recently quit my job, and for 17, 18 months, I was pastoring and working full time. And that was one of the hardest things I think I've ever had to do. But when I quit my job, I can't explain to you that I felt I was in the perfect will of God. It didn't make sense. It still somehow doesn't make sense. But I can feel that I'm walking in the will of God for my life. What am I saying to you this morning? Listen, my purpose gives me meaning. Therefore, what I have or what I don't have doesn't dictate who I am or what I do or what I pursue. My purpose is what gives me direction in life. It's what fulfills me. Because this is what I was created for. I was created to work with people. I was created to give people hope. I was created to preach the gospel. Now, I don't know what you're called to. Some of you are called to do the same thing. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. The quicker you come into realization that God has called you to a specific task and you step into it, you begin to feel fulfilled and your life will feel as if it has meaning. There's more to just waking up to a 9-to-5. There's more to life than just raising our children. Listen, I get to raise my children, disciple my children, and cast vision into my children, and I get to preach the gospel. I get to give people hope. I get the privilege of seeing lives changed because I've stepped into my purpose. And I don't know what your purpose is, but that's why you have to pursue it. And having a purpose will give you meaning. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, people perish or cast off restraint. Cast off restraint, in other words, they'll live wildly. Unless people have a definite sense of purpose with direction and parameters, they will live according to their own choices and wander aimlessly for the rest of their lives. But when you have vision for your life and you're pursuing the purposes of God, listen, you live within a specific parameters or boundaries that you will not cross, because you know it, you were never meant to play on that side of the field. The problem in today's world is that we don't have boundaries or parameters. But you got to set parameters in your life. Even in your marriage, we teach you need to have an agreement, boundaries, and you got to build hedges. See, without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. And the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a purpose. And there are many who are living life aimlessly, restlessly, can't sleep at night, and they have a specific anxiety. That anxiety is because you've come to the knowledge of God and you might not be doing what He's called you to do. You want that anxiety to go away? Step into what God has for you. Hear me now. There are some of you, you know too much now. It's kind of like the mob. You know too much, baby. You're guilty by association. You know the Lord now. You know too much to go back now. Let me give you a secret. You can go back now, and what used to be fun is no longer going to be enjoyable to you. I'm trying to tell you early. You don't have to go back to what you used to know. You know how many people that they're doing good in church and then they blow it. They mess up only to come back and say, man, pastor, it wasn't even enjoyable anymore. I got high and I couldn't even stay high because all I could think about was the Lord. All I could think about was that scripture. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what every person will be. So there's no use in arguing with God about your destiny. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has a plan for your life, and that plan has to do with hope, and it has to do with giving you a great future. But you got to buy into that. It should be our goal to pursue and seek God for why He created us. It should be our goal to find God's will for our life. The Bible even tells us, seek me with all your heart and you will be found. How does it say it? Seek me with all your heart and you will be found by me. When we seek God with all of our heart, we'll find God. We will find God. But it should be our goal to pursue and seek God. Thirdly, knowing your purpose focuses your life. Knowing your purpose focuses your life. Now catch this for a second. The word focus means the state or quality of having clear definition, a main purpose or interest. The state or quality of having clear definition, a main purpose or interest. See, knowing our purpose gives us direction. It's where God imparts vision into our hearts. Vision and purpose, understand this, are inseparable. When we understand that we have purpose and we have vision for our lives, it causes us to focus our life. Ephesians 5:17 says, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. And that's in the New Living Translation. See, the power of focus can be seen in light. Diffused light has little power or impact. But if you take a magnifying glass and you align it just right, the rays of the sun can be focused to where it will set grass or paper on fire. And there's nothing more powerful than a man or woman who lived focused lives. You look throughout the Bible, the men and the women that did the greatest exploits, that did great things, they were people that lived focused lives. Philippians 3:13b in New Living Translation says, I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And there are some of you this morning, you got to focus all of your energies on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward. In other words, when you're focused, you're not diverted by your phone. There are some people, they're on their phone during church. And they think I can't see them. I ain't going to call nobody out, but I'm just telling you. And I'm not going to lie to you. Can I say it? Can I be very honest with you? It's kind of disrespectful to be on your church while the word of God is going. It just shows an irreverent spirit. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or step on your toes, but I'm just trying to tell you some truths. Because today, I ain't going to go there. Can I go there? No, I'm going to be cool. I just had to throw that out there. It's crazy how, like, because we go through it, right? Right, Brother Nakia? Right, Brother Kenny? We're over here studying, like, days to put a message together. And then we're preaching and we see somebody on the, you know, whether they be in the back or the front on their phone laughing. And I'm like, what in the world are you laughing at? You think this is funny? Every now and then I get mad too. I'm like, hold on, bro. Thank God I prayed. I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Listen to this. Philippians 3, 15 and 17 in the message, it says this. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. And if you want your life to make an impact, listen to me. If you want your life to make an impact, focus it. Focus your life on pursuing the will of God for your life. 1 Corinthians 7:35 says this, and this I speak for you, your own prophet, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is commonly, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. We're living in the day of distraction. I am convinced that men of God today, yes, sin still has its way. But I believe more godly men don't fulfill the will of God, not because of sin, but because of distraction. We're living in the day where we have all sorts of technology, but if we are not careful, distraction will keep us from pursuing and fulfilling the will of God. It sounds funny, and I know I throw it out there, Facebook and all this, but I am amazed at how many hours people actually spend on Facebook. Look up the statistics for yourself. They say the average person spends 2 to 3 hours a day. I think that's teenagers. Look it up for yourself. But I do know that the statistics said that people generally check their phone over 150 times a day. What we need is focused believers. I don't just need leaders. Listen to me. We don't just need leaders anymore. We need focused leaders. Because there are a lot of leaders that they have know-how. Skill and ability is not the problem. Focused lives are the problem. Because there are a lot of people that they have leadership skills, leadership abilities. They even know how to interpret the word. But they're not focused on the task at hand for their life. You know, you read Hebrews chapter 11. It's full of stories of men who fulfilled their purpose in life. And Hebrews chapter 11 recaps the stories of men and women who believed God for the impossible. It recaps the stories of great men and women of God who lived out their purpose. They allowed God to work through their lives. It's there. They saw things before they were physically visible. They led others to cooperate with God and to bring into existence what was not yet seen. And one of the best pictures of vision captured in Hebrews chapter 11 reads, "Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and sure of what you do not see." You're not always going to see the big picture. You're not always going to see the blueprint. And it may even be blurred at times. But that's where faith kicks in. Where you're sure of what you hope for. You're certain of what you hope for and sure of what you cannot see. Some of you, all you need now is faith to step into what God has for you. I know that sometimes we don't think we matter, but listen, I'm here to tell you that you matter. God wants to use your story to bring Him glory. But understand this, the devil will always try to frustrate your purpose. And our focus should remain on the goal. Our goal is to fulfill the plan of God in our lives. Our job is to hold on to and trust Him even when things don't go our way. That's why Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And as I come to a close, walking with God, you will experience all sorts of seasons. You'll have some high highs and some low lows. There are going to be seasons where you're very happy and seasons that you're discouraged. Now, the Bible tells us that if we don't become weary in well-doing at the proper time, some translation says, in due season, you will reap a harvest. Do you know that the hardest time is not in the season of discouragement or even joy? The hardest time is when you're in between seasons where you're forced to wait on what God has promised you. But what does the Bible tell us? If we do not give up, we will reap the harvest that He intends for us. And many of you just have to understand, you're in between seasons right now. It's not all lost. I know what it is to fall. I know what it is to make some bad decisions that set me back. But I've learned this. When I fall, it's not game over. It's not game over. Temporary setback. Some of you gotta learn what that means. Temporary setback. In other words, you're just temporarily set back. But God says, work these things out, and I'll put you back in the game. Some of you are injured. Your heart condition is hard. And like a football team, there are some of you, you're on IR, injured reserved. In other words, there's a place for you on the team, but because you're injured, we're waiting for you to get healthy emotionally, physically. And the minute you get well, your position still stands. We'll throw you the ball. But you gotta be emotionally okay. You got to have the strength to focus. You have to, even though it doesn't seem like you're going to catch the ball, if you focus, if you zero in and you trust in your ability, you trust in the abilities God has given you, you trust in the skill, you trust in the Spirit of God, God will use your life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I came here this morning to tell you, don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep pressing. Keep believing. Because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest.